What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbliss. I'm super excited. This is going to be a great episode here. Someone who I think is incredibly talented, has a great voice, and I'm excited to get to know her a little bit. Paige McKenzie, thank you for coming out with me. I appreciate it. I'm super stoked to get to know you and hear your story a little bit. So thanks for coming to hang.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'm very, very excited.
Of course. So why don't we just start off with sometimes every once in a while, what I like to do is if there's someone listening that may know you already, or someone who, what I love is about this whole platform is that I think it's a really good way for people to find new artists. Right. Obviously that's why I sit here and do this, but, what I love is, and I just got finished saying this like a little while ago, was that my favorite thing in the world is when like I find an artist that I really enjoy that people probably already know or may not know. And you just watch them climb the ladder, whether I stay here or not, but like watching them climb the ladder of success is really cool. So, for people who are listening, who may not know you, just a little bit about yourself. Just kind of what I like to say, the quick SparkNotes version, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So I am originally from Charleston, South Carolina, moved to Nashville about 7 years ago, I think is what I just hit. Just moved here, started writing and playing and doing the thing, and haven't left quite yet, which is cool. And I'm just here to write sad country music and do the thing.
Sad songs make me happy, right? That's what everyone says.
Literally just left the gym, and I think I listened to, I don't know if you know Caitlin Smith, but
of course, come on.
I know. I say that, but I
no, no. I'm not saying that as in like a who doesn't. I'm saying that right. I love Caitlin.
She's like a really underrated artist for me. Like I feel like she should be everywhere, and I aspire to be her. But sad music is her forte, and when I'm at the gym, well, baby, I put that on. I'll be running forever.
Listen, me too. What is your favorite Caitlin Smith song?
Right now, it's Alaska. It's off the new High and Low album.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's what it is. But I mean, come on, you can't beat the Nashville's Killing Me song. That one's insane. Tacoma.
Come on, Paige.
Tacoma with that key change.
Because I love Garth's version. Like, I listened to Tacoma, like Garth sing Tacoma first. And then, like, as years went on, I was like, wait, who is this? Because so shout out to my friend Elena. I've years and years ago, before I started this, I was working in radio when I was in college, and my friend Elena was like, Kyle, you should start a podcast. And I was like, about what? Right. And I'm just like, I was like, also, I don't have time. I have an internship, a job, and I'm a student. Like, doesn't gonna work. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, I got to go out with the friends, like, obviously.
Right.
So I was like, not gonna happen. And she was like, you should talk about country music. And then I pushed it off for a while until I had time, ergo COVID. Right. So, but at that time, Elena was like, you should listen to Caitlin Smith. And that's when I listened to Tacoma for the first time. And I was like, whoa. I was like, this is an incredible version of this song. Plus, like everything else, like Starfire, like This Town Is Killing Me, like you said, If I Didn't Love You. Like, there's so many good songs.
I literally, like, you're talking about it and I get goosebumps because I've, and her concert live was, I was so under the weather when I went to see her after, because not gonna lie, it was the day after my birthday. I was feeling not well. I was in the back just like leaning on a wall but crying, and also just like trying to not throw up, and I was like, still the best concert I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's an experience. Yeah. you had to have all of it in one. It's the experience.
I had all the emotions literally in a matter of 2 hours.
I'm with you. I think that she's fantastic. You're right though, like, she's totally underrated. Like, I feel like people forget about her all the time because like, I don't know, maybe she focuses more on writing than she does on her own artistry, but like, God, she's got one of the most incredible voices ever. It's nuts.
It's insane. I mean, she's like, she's doing these things and I'm watching her, but it's just like, how do I get her to everybody in the world so they can experience her? Because you need to. So
isn't that the coolest thing though, when you like introduce your friends to music who they didn't know before and then they just become fans?
Oh yeah. Like going through a breakup, here, all her albums. Take them all.
There's like 40 songs for you to listen to. There you go. You'll feel better. There you go. I love it. So you're from Charleston, right? Like, that's kind of cool. I feel like Charleston is like this like hot spot that people, right? Isn't everyone wants to go to Charleston now. I feel like all these people are like, yeah, I'm going to Charleston for a bachelorette party. I'm going here. We're taking a trip to Charleston, right? I think it's pretty cool. Like, growing up, was that, I don't know, like, was it a cool place for you to grow up? Like, did you enjoy it or could you not wait to get out?
Oh my, no, I miss it more than anything in the entire world. I was born in Florida, but we only lived there for like a month and immediately moved to Charleston. So like I claim born and raised in Charleston. Sure. But my family's from up north and I love them. I really do. But I'm so blessed to have been raised in the South and not in Michigan. So I always thank my mom and dad for taking us there. And I mean, you can't beat a childhood where you're getting off the school bus and then get to go surf with your friends. And then.
Is that what you did?
Oh, I used to compete surfing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But wow. Like, I mean, don't get too excited because the waves in Charleston are like maybe 5 feet if you get a good hurricane. But yeah, I'm a beach bum through and through. And that's like, this is a little off topic, but that's one of the things I always worry about because as a country artist, like I grew up on the beach. I'm a Kenny Chesney country artist. I'm not like go hunting, fishing, sure. And that sort of country girl. Like I'm a beach bum, South Carolina kind of country gal. So I always get nervous. Like everyone's like, you want to go hunting? I'm like, I don't know a thing about how to hunt. I don't. I'm sorry.
I think that's great though. I think that it brings a whole new side of music. And like, you know, obviously Chesney was a Tennessee guy and you know, he always says like the greatest thing I ever did was not try and be, take off a hat and not try and be George Strait. Right. Like that's like the coolest thing that he did. Right. And like that totally changed his entire trajectory of his career. Cause then he became, you know, the beach guy and the good vibes guy and what, you know, and then you just see it blow up from there, which I think is great. Cause it brings a whole other side to the genre, which I think is really cool. 100%. But I think it's sick that's how you like envision yourself. Like, I feel like most people, I mean, now I guess as we're younger, like I guess more people are like, hey, like Kenny Chesney's someone that you look up to, but like growing up, like Kenny Chesney was a young guy and now he's obviously, you know, like been around for longer. So it's cool that like, that's part of your like influence. And, like that's the country music that you see yourself doing, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. It's like, cause I always like when people ask me like, oh, who are your influences? Who, you know, as
I hate that question, by the way, I hate that question.
It's so hard. So I'm not like beach music isn't typically what I do, but as far as like my personality, that's where I kind of fall under. But I got into country music with, I remember specifically the song that got me into country music. I was 11 years old and I was in my mom's car and Red Ragtop came on by Tim McGraw. And it was like the first time that my mom had to sit down and I knew what was happening, but I was still 11. So she sat down and it was like our first big girl conversation about what was going on in that song. And that's when the storytelling aspect came in. And I think, you know, one part of me gets nervous when it comes to interviews is like, as a female country artist, a lot of the girls are like, I grew up on Dolly. I grew up on Reba. I didn't grow up with female artists. I grew up Shania Twain, but I mean, I grew up with Lone Star, Tim McGraw, like Rascal Flatts. And yeah. You know, it's a weird thing when people are like, you have to say that because most people say like, oh, Dolly. And I love all of them. But I mean, I grew up also with Michigan stuff, Motown music, and sure. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And that really like allows you to just expand. But what I think, what you said is absolutely correct. Like, you know, as you get to this younger generation, it's not always going to be the Dollies. I mean, it very well can be like, that's because you are a product of what your parents listen to for the most part. Right. Like it's very well possible that that's the case, but on the contrary, like I agree with you, right? Like around the same time, a couple years later is when I started listening to country music. And it was like, I literally just posted this on my Instagram story, I think last night where I said that I Melt was one of the first songs I ever listened to. Like, it was like that, Fast Cars and Freedom. For You by Keith Urban. There's like a couple of other ones, but like I Melt in that like first big Rascal Flatts record was like the first thing that I listened to. And I was like, whoa, like what is this world? Like coming from Northern New Jersey, like I didn't have friends that listened to any of that. So I was an outlier. Right. And, and thankfully like my one, like best friend in the whole wide world also agrees with me on that one where like we can relate in that sense. But yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think it's funny when people say like, they're reluctant to say that I grew up on Flats and those guys, but I mean, you're going to see the turn, but that doesn't mean that you don't love the other stuff. Right. Like when I started listening to country music, I started there and now I've pretty much like, I'm like a cesspool for country music. My head, that's all that's in there. There's nothing else in there. It's all air, all air and country music. That's about it.
I love it.
That's all you get. But I think it's cool. I think it's really cool.
I mean, everything stems from previous artists. Rascal and them were probably, you know, influenced by George and all them. Like, it's just everything peters into one another anyways. So
did you know, you mentioned Lone Star. I recently found this out, and maybe I missed the boat on this one. Maybe I'm like a couple years behind, but I recently found out that the lead singer for Lone Star, why am I blanking on his name? But him, the lead singer for Restless Heart, and what was the third one? Little Texas. The three of them are in a band, and they're calling it the Frontmen.
But I love that.
I think that's sick. I just recently saw it literally like 2 days ago.
Like currently right now, this
currently
is
right now, like in their 50s, like the three of them are together. And I think I went down the social media rabbit hole. I think they kind of started in like 21, like 2021, like end of 2021. But like I recently saw a bunch of their stuff. I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool.
It's like after COVID, that's when all the crazy ideas came out and everybody was just like, I have nothing to lose. Let's just try it out.
So. Why not? And I'm sure that they're still getting royalties and all that stuff. So what's the difference? They might as well just give it a shot. You know what I
mean? They're absolutely fine.
I think they're okay. But I thought that was really cool. Like all these cool. Now you just throw in like Blackhawk, and now we're good to go. Like that's the way I look at it.
Just do whatever. It doesn't matter.
Might as well. So let's talk about just kind of I know you mentioned first song you ever listened to that kind of influenced you a little bit, but in terms of like growing up, right, like you said, like your family's from up north and Detroit's like really big in Motown and that kind of scene, right? But being in South Carolina, like that's there's some country music there, but I'm sure that there's a lot of other stuff there as well. As a kid, like what do you listen to as a kid before 11 years old? Like what are you listening to prior to that?
Absolutely. So my mom was a big Lyle Lovett fan.
Oh my God. Someone else just told me their mom was a huge Lyle Lovett fan. I mean, I am too, but it's pretty cool. Two people.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like they were in love with Lyle. Like they wanted to marry him. And like, my mom's like, I can't explain it, but I just love him so much. So that was a big one. And then my dad, I guess if I had to get my vocal abilities from anyone, it would be my dad.
You don't want to make his head too big. That's
Yeah. I'll give that guy a cocktail and a microphone. It's a Ronnie Fortuna concert for the rest of the day.
Me too, but it just sounds like shit. That's it.
Yeah, at least you're having fun. I mean, you're not good at karaoke anyways. I hate that's a whole other topic about karaoke, but I hate people tell me to sing. I'm like, it's not fun when I go up there. We want the bad people up there. Like, yeah, let them have their moment.
Yeah.
But he was a big Bill Withers fan. So that was a big influence. I like to think I have a very soulful voice, and I think that's where that side comes from. But I was also a young girl in the 90s and 2000s. I grew up with Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. I grew up with Justin Timberlake, Backstreet Boys. NSYNC was my first concert, except I cried and we left because it was so loud. And I never went to a concert again until Big and Rich and Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah. That's a hell of a show.
That's like, I like to claim that as my first concert that got me like, I'm going to be up there singing like that. It was incredible. So,
well, don't sell NSYNC short. Are you kidding me? If they broke out of this, I promise you, I'm singing all day long.
It was incredible. But as a young girl in the nosebleed section with all the other young girls screaming and crying, my mom was like, livid. She spent all this money on these tickets, and I was like, I want to go home.
That's bad. But I mean, like, hey, listen, but Big and Rich and Gretchen Wilson, man, that's a hell of a show.
Incredible.
Listen, I that's pretty nuts, actually. You know, a video I watched, you mentioned Kenny Chesney. I watched this video all the time. In the early 2000s, Chesney and Gretchen Wilson, I think it was, I don't know if she was on the tour or she just happened to be there, but he did a cover of Hurt So Good and she sang it with him. You can find it on YouTube if you look it up. And it's like the greatest thing in the world. It's so cool. It's actually,
I have to.
It's just
me, that's so I can look it up later.
I will. I'm telling you, it's like, I'll send you the link to the video. I think I've watched it thousands of times. I don't know why. I love to just like find old videos and just scroll through YouTube and jump down the rabbit hole and see the next one I can find. And I don't know, long time ago, I found that video and it was, it's pretty cool. So I recommend it.
There's a one video back in the day, and you're going to probably know the information, but it was like for the CMAs or CMTs or ACMs, whatever award ceremony was, but they were like, y'all are playing to a backing track. So the lead singer was like, told his drummer, don't use sticks, just use your hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about too. I just watched this video. I don't know why I can't remember what it was, but yes, he just used his hands. He didn't have sticks.
It was incredible. That's where I get a deep hole right there. And like Miranda Lambert, first time playing at the CMTs or what, I can't remember.
Gunpowder and Lead, whatever that was, right?
She said she took her shoes off right before she went on stage because she was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not wearing these. And I'm like,
that's a good one.
I love this.
I love that one. I love that one a lot. There's a couple of really, really good ones. I also always fall down the Cody Johnson rabbit hole of when he sings covers at the Opry. Like I'll melt for that. I will melt. I'll do anything. Yeah. Like, not even kidding. And when I saw him in May and he played a couple of covers and I was like, fuck. All I wanted was for him to play Vince Gill, When I Call Your Name. I didn't get that one. But I got everything else and that was good. That gives me chills.
It's insane.
Chills. Chills.
Some of these like I just jumped on the Cameron Marlowe bandwagon and Holy Vocals.
I saw him in March in New York City. Whoa.
Unreal.
Whoa. He played a couple of covers too. They played Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Did they?
And I'll tell you this. You think you go to New York City, right? And you're like, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Whoa. That crowd, it was getting a little
loved it.
There's no seats, so we were all body to body. I was like, might need to back up a little bit. It was nuts. It was so nuts. And I'm friendly with Wyatt McCubbin, and I was talking to him about it. And I'm like, dude, because he opened for Cameron, he came out and sung the song when they did the song. And I was like, dude, what? And he goes, and I brought it up to him, and he didn't know I was there or anything like that. But I was asking him about it, and he was like, yeah, it got a little rowdy. Like, I was like, what the hell? Like, we're in the Upper West Side of New York City. What is going on?
Ready for it.
It was so nuts. It was so
I'm
nuts.
Thinking of, it's Cameron Marlowe. There's another Marlowe, right?
Dylan, yeah.
Dylan Marlowe and Cameron Marlowe. Yes. Okay. I'm a huge female country fan. So I'm like in that world very heavily. Sure. So I'm branching out, listening to more male artists. And Cameron's just like, holy crap.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Sucker for vocals too. So
if you want to listen to a good female artist and Cameron Marlowe at the same time, Aaron Kirby and Cameron Marlowe put out a version of I Can't Lie. Whoa.
I saw a small clip of her singing on Instagram and I was like, who is that? And how do I sing like her?
Had her on the pod a couple of weeks ago. Awesome person. Really nice. Young. She's 19. And she's still trying to figure it out, and I think that she's got that voice, and it's pretty crazy. It's pretty.
She's got plenty of time, as in
got pipes for days, Paige. Yeah, it's nuts. I don't believe it. It's like, you know what you were saying, you were getting chills talking about Kalen Smith. Like that's when I listen. Like, it's
insane.
It's like I told her, I was like, I don't know if you know this saying, because like I fall down the YouTube rabbit hole, like I said, and I love to watch like voice performances. And like old American Idol performances, and I'm a huge like I grew up on a lot of classic rock, but I also grew up on like, and this is just me finding it myself, but I grew up on like a lot of old R&B and like blues and soul. So I love like Aretha Franklin and Etta James, and like I throw like a modern day like Jennifer Hudson in there as well, right? So Jennifer Hudson says, and this is probably a very normal thing, but when someone's got a good voice, she throws a shoe. So now when someone's got a voice that like goes up my spine, I'm like, I would throw a shoe at you. Like that's
in the nicest, most respectful way. If you don't know that, you'd be like, why do you hate me?
Exactly. Like in the nicest, most respectful way, take a shoe.
I love it. Well, now I know. I'll pass along. So it makes more sense to people.
Make it more universal. I think it's so important. So, let's kind of dive into your journey here a little bit. Like you said, in 2016, you moved to Nashville, right? And you kind of made that leap and that step. And did I also read that you were on the X Factor at some point?
Yeah, that was, yeah. I mean, I can tell you whatever you want about it. That was insane. And it was, long story short, it was Kelly Rowland was on that panel that year. And I remember she pulled me aside and she said, this isn't for you. she said, this way of getting to where you want, these shows are not for you. She's sure. Like, you have more to, like, I wouldn't say more to offer, because I know a lot of people are doing amazing. She just basically said, do it the old school way. Just keep writing music, put music out, do it that way. That's, yeah. That's the way you need to do it. This is not for you. And I think I auditioned for The Voice a couple times after that. And then just kind of was like, I'm good. I'm just going to write music and see what happens.
Did you struggle with that? Like, when she told you that, was that like something where you were like, wait, why doesn't she? Cause like, I'm sure in the moment, like, you believed full heartedly, like, this is where you're supposed to be. But in hindsight, like, hindsight's 2020, right? Like, maybe you just need to go through some experiences to realize that that wasn't your path.
I was actually, it felt like a compliment.
Oh, and okay. That's good.
I don't want to say like I said, there's incredible artists that do really well on that show and it's a big opportunity, but it felt like she was just saying, just, you got this, just not here. And that felt almost helped me direct my path into, you know, the songwriting world. You don't learn about that until you get here. Yeah. Like, you don't know that you can make quite a lot of money and living and a career off of just songwriting solely. I love being on stage. That's where my heart is. But that led me into more of that path and pushed me to come to Nashville. And I got to start a whole journey down songwriting, which has been incredible.
Right. And I think it's really cool. Like you've mentioned a couple of names so far. And I think that some of these guys are on both sides of the spectrum here. Like, you know, we mentioned Caitlin Smith, and Caitlin Smith's really, you know, she's a very successful songwriter, and that's led to an artist career. And, you know, you mentioned Cameron Marlowe. Cameron Marlowe started on The Voice, big voice, jumped in the artist thing, also writes, right? Mm-hmm. Or Dylan Marlowe wrote for a long time and is now becoming an artist that is more well-known, right? So there's trajectories of people and they go on different paths. And it just kind of depends on who you are and what you put your focus on. But you're right. Like, you really want to focus, you know, you want to be an artist, like, your heart is on stage, but sometimes the writer thing helps you be a better artist as well as also being a great writer. Like that, like the writer, I could be wrong here, but I feel like being a writer is the train that will lead you farther. Like, it is a great point, and you can always go back to being a writer. It's always consistent. If you're a great writer, you're always going to be a great writer. And once you become a successful writer, like, it is just that much, I wouldn't say easy, but it helps your artist trajectory more because you meet more people.
I mean, the goal is to tell your stories and to help people and to, you know, I want to make sure people don't know they're alone. So that's why I write my stories, and whether I sing it or somebody else sings it, as long as it's getting out to the people and it helps people, that's, sounds cliche, but that's really all that matters. So
yeah,
if I end up touring the world, excellent. If I end up writing for other people, wonderful. It just doesn't matter. Right? Yeah. And people, when you're younger, it's like, people don't understand there's different paths of success in music. Like, you only see Taylor Swift selling out stadiums and everyone's like, well, unless you make it there, you didn't really make it in the industry. And it's like the biggest lie ever fed to anyone who wants to chase something in music. And it's awful, but there are so many different paths and careers and levels. Some people don't want to sell out stadiums. Some people want to stay within certain size venues. Some people want listening rooms. Some people want to just play at the bars. Like, success to someone is whatever they want to make it.
Some people are really okay with selling out 500, you know, people rooms every weekend. God knows you can make good money off that. Like, look at all those dudes in Texas, right? Like the Josh Wards of the world and you know, all those guys down there that we mentioned. Cody Johnson played in Texas for 10 years before anyone knew a damn who he was. Right.
Yeah.
But that's true. Like you play those rooms, like that is success for a lot of people. You know why though? You know, what's important about that. And I like that you said that, because what's really important is, like, if you are a person that says, I don't want to max more than 5,000 people at all in my career, and if that's what I do, like, I'm okay with that, right? At the root of it, right, and I'll use Cody Johnson again. I saw him in May. It was a 6,000 person arena. It was a small arena, right? Every single person loved every single second of that show. Every single person knew every single word to every single song, right? Every single person had one common theme, and they all loved country music. And that for me, if I was the person on that stage, that is more important than now listen, I'm not trashing this person, but than being a Morgan Wallen where maybe a quarter of that arena knows only 5 songs or 10 songs or knows the hit. Right. So it's like, you got to see how you want to look at it. But I think it's cool that you're like, hey, like if I'm a writer for someone forever and I make, you know, I do successful and I'm a professional writer and I play my music in listening rooms on the weekends. And like, if that is who I am, as long as I'm playing music and telling my stories and paying my bills, like I'm cool with that.
Golden.
I think it's cool. Yeah. Because that means that you're leaving yourself room for more success. Like you're not limiting yourself, but you're also okay with what you consider success. I think that's important.
Yeah, it's extremely important, especially in a town that I love Nashville, but it's dog eat dog out here. I mean, it's very supportive. Country music is very supportive compared to most genres, but there's still bad parts of it. And you just got to come to terms with a lot of things and get the right group, get the right people in your circle. That's like, if I could just hound that into everybody's head, make sure you have good people to go with and to be with.
What is the one thing that when you moved there 7 years ago that you struggled with, or that you maybe that you didn't realize you were going to struggle with, but it was a lot harder than you thought it was?
I think pretty much everybody says this. When you're in your hometown, you're the biggest thing there. Yeah. You come here with this freaking ego. I mean, I literally, the EP that I came to Nashville with, I was like, this is it. I listened to that album now. I took it down. I listened to that. The way I interviewed, the way I presented myself on social media, I'm like, you really thought. So like, especially like, the best thing about coming here was being so humbled so quickly. I mean, I think I had about a million doors shut in my face. Like, what are you even doing here? Like, what? So luckily I use that as motivation and I learned from the best. I write with the best. And I think that's important to always surround yourself with the best, because you got to constantly be learning and growing. And it was the first year I was like, uh-oh. I'm going to have to call my mom coming home. Like, I don't want to do this. So
yeah, that's
humble.
That's tough. I feel like the one thing as an outsider looking in, like I always recognize that, like, you know, there's so much talent and sometimes that talent can be discouraging because there's so much, but it's just important, like you said, to surround yourself with the right people and to just kind of keep grinding and keep your nose to the grindstone and keep playing the music and keep writing the songs that you know are authentically yourself. And I think that's right. Like one key theme each week that we always talk about is authenticity. Like as long as you have that, you're golden, right? Because no matter what, like you're going to have listeners that believe in your authenticity, whether it be, like you said, whether it be thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, or hundreds of hundreds. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, that's important for a lot of people. So I think it's cool. What is the one song out of your entire catalog? I have what I think is, well, at least for me, like when I listen to all your music, I have one song that sticks out in my head that I like consider an almost perfect song pretty much. But what for you, like, what is the one song that you think like decided, okay, like, yeah, I can do this and I can do this really, really well. Cause everything you've put out is great. There's one song for me that tugs my heartstrings, and I'll tell you which one it is, but, and I'm sure you could probably guess, but
I don't know for me that I have released the most authentic and like, I would say it would be House.
Yeah.
That was one of the hardest releases I've ever had, just because, I mean, I had to call my mom and dad and say, I'm putting out a song about you guys and it's not going to be easy to listen to. And then having to send the album artwork was like another like stab to the heart. But I know how many people have gone through the same exact thing. And then after the song came out, I basically went through exactly what they went through with the breakup, where I basically was married and I went through the whole process again. And I was like, this song is so important to me, because not only through people with divorced parents, but people who go through breakups just like this, like there are so many people going through what exactly what I'm going through. So that was a hard one.
Yeah, I bet. And you could tell. And like, I'm, you know, I'm a really big component on emotion in songs. And I think that's why I connect with music as much as I do, because, you know, like everyone kind of goes through their own little life journeys, and some are fun and some are, some parts of it are fun and some parts of it are not so fun. And I think that that's why a lot of us who are passionate about music, and whether you be an artist or a writer or a listener, like I think a lot of that comes from how we relate to songs. Right. So when you listen to a song like that, and I'm not saying I haven't gone through that situation, like that, that's not something I relate to personally, but I know there are so many people in this world that do. And like I said, like you could just hear the emotion in the song when you're listening to it. And for me, like that's really important, because again, that goes back to the authenticity thing, but that's incredibly important, because you know it's coming from the heart, right? Like, you know, that wasn't an easy song. Like, I listened to the whole thing, you know, I've listened to it a million times, and you listen to it and you just say like, man, like this was probably not fun for her, but it was also something that she needed to get out. So, I don't know. I love that song. I really
do. You're so kind. Thank you.
I think that song's fantastic. I mean, like I said, sad songs make me happy, but his guitar is another one that like really yanks on the strings too, I don't know if I've heard a song, like obviously, you know, we get songs that are of the same topic matter a lot, but never portrayed that way. So I thought that was really cool that like, you know, you're going ahead and saying like, you know, he'll basically never love me like he loves the guitar type deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is gut wrenching, but at the same time, like, I don't know. And it's kind of weird though, right? Because you as a musician, like music is incredibly important to you, but also like you want someone to love too. Right. So like, it's kind of like this double-edged sword type thing, but it's cool.
Oh, you can succeed as much as you want, but when you don't have someone to come home to tell about it or celebrate, like, I mean, we're human. Everybody is out to find love and spread love. Like that's just what we're on this earth to do. But yeah, it's important. And that was also another really hard, like, I don't want to have any boundaries where it's like, oh, well, I don't want to put this song out because I don't want people to talk, or I don't want people to say da 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 da. Like, I'll always write music and put it out no matter what. I'm going to give you exactly what happened, and I'm not going to be afraid of the repercussions of it. I mean, that's what we have to do. I mean, just put it out there. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Is that so for you though? Like, how'd you get to that point? Because I feel like for a lot of people, like, it's tough for them to put songs out about their, you know, family life and about their relationship life and these topics that for a lot of people are really heavy. Like, how do you find the confidence to say like, I'm just gonna, well, maybe part of it is because you know that other people will relate to it, but also it's just like, I don't know, for me personally, like if I was doing that, as much as I would want to, I feel like it'd be really hard.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of comes with the territory. We signed up to share, you know, pages of our diary, at least in my, as what I want to do. And I know exactly what I'm getting into. Like, I have to watch the music video for that was filmed in my house I used to live in with somebody I used to love. And every time I watch that music video, I have to relive that.
Yeah.
Double whammy about my family and the breakup. But I think that there's something, you know, sweet about that. I mean, there's like little, what does Taylor Swift call them? There's little Easter eggs in there that are like there are the toys in there are my toys. That house was my house. So like, I mean, I'm really just letting people in. And I think there's some beauty in that because I signed up for it. I signed up to share my stories. So
I think that's incredibly important. And, you know, like I talk about this a lot, but I started this platform, for the storyteller, right? Like the point of it is to allow you to tell your story and allow me to, you know, drive that story and help tell it and give you a voice in the best way, the best ability that I can. I think that's really important. And there's nothing I love more than a songwriter and artist who just lays their heart in their sleeve, right? Like a couple weeks ago, I put out an episode with a guy named Dan Smalley, and he's written a bunch of great songs, and he's been a writer for a long time, and he's kind of venturing out into the artist thing like we've been talking about. And he said a really funny quote that I wrote down just because I thought it was funny. And he's like, life isn't always Coors Lights and tailgates. It's just not.
I love that so much.
I'd probably get that tattooed on me, to be honest with you.
Literally.
And I hate Coors Light. That's so.
Honestly, I love that so much. I mean, I get it, like writing for radio and what's going to sell. And when people go to concerts, they want to, you know, party. But then it comes back to that. Well, what do you really want in your career? Maybe I want to be in a listening room where I can tell you why I wrote this song and see if you can relate to it. And then there are artists who sing about all of that and they have a party at their concert. That's great. Again, it's just back to that. There's so many different paths, and whatever you really want to pull from this career, it's up to you. It's your decision.
So, let me ask you, like, was there a moment in Nashville, like you've been there the back half of 5 years. Was there a moment where maybe you were just kind of struggling with ideas or just the motivation to keep on going? Right. And was there a moment where you went and maybe you watched someone play, maybe you went to a listening room type thing or you know, like the Bluebird or wherever, like maybe you went to a place of that where you sat there and you listened to a person pour their heart out and just, you said, you know what, like, this is why I love this town. This is why I want to stay and do this. Like, was there a moment like that for you?
I think I've had probably 100 of those moments.
Fantastic.
It's a constant, like, one day I wake up and I'm like, what am I doing? The next day I'm like, this is what I'm doing. Yeah. I cannot for the life of me remember her name, but there was, I was at one of my first writes with a guy named Craig Wilson, who unfortunately passed away this year, but he was one of the best songwriters I had met in town. And he was one of my first writes here. And he played me a song called Hotel. And the hook is, the whole storyline is about this man who cheated on his wife with this girl, and she calls her up and she's like basically having conversation like, the catch is, ho, tell me what you did. And but it was this slow emotional song, so like that lyric, when you hear it without the melody and everything, is like, whoa, that's a little rude. But the whole song, I don't know how she did it, makes you want to cry the entire time. Yeah. And I remember my girlfriend sent me a video and I was like, this is the stuff I want to do. Like, this is what I want to write. That kept me going for, I mean, I still watch that video. The song's incredible. If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
Please do.
I cannot remember.
Maybe if I see your face, I'll know her name. Who knows? Maybe
I have to look it up.
We can do some investigation.
It's so good. I have to send it to you. Or this doesn't make any sense, but that song was like one of the songs.
I would love to hear it. I think that'd be really cool. I love stuff like that, right? I think it's cool you have these moments. As I'm sitting here now, like I'll be in Nashville the end of August, and I'm going with my brother and girlfriend's going, and one of our friends is going, and they have all these ideas of what they want to do, and they want to go to Broadway and do all that stuff, right? And I'm just like, I'm gonna let you guys do that. I think there's gonna be one night where I'm just gonna slide away and like go listen to a round, and like maybe I go by myself, but like I'm okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing better. I'll tell you the story this one time. So a couple years ago, and if you're listening to this now, I think I probably brought him up a million times on the show, but there's a guy named Gabe Lee who I find absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love Gabe. He's become a good friend of mine. He's a great guy, awesome dude, and he's got some great songs, some great records. But the one thing about Gabe that I love is that he comes up to New York and plays a couple times, once, twice a year kind of thing, right? And every time he's here, I try and go and see him. The first time I ever met Gabe in person, also saw him in New York. I was supposed to go with my buddy, and you know City Wineries, they have one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So City Winery, we have a couple in New York City, and the one I go to a lot is really easy to get to. I just drive down the West Side Highway, and I literally pay way too much money for a parking garage, and I walk across the highway. He was playing in one of the rooms. He was opening for Brent Cobb, right? So I bought the ticket, and you know, it's like communal tables, right? So it's like those long tables. So I buy the ticket because the room's not that big. So I buy a ticket, two tickets all the way in the back on one of those high top tables so that me and my buddy can just kind of sit there by ourselves and not have to like worry about anyone sitting next to us or whatever. So he ends up not being able to go. I can't find a soul to go with me. I asked everyone. I asked my mom. Like, I asked
mom, everyone. Please.
I was like, can someone just come? I was like, not because like I'm worried about like wasting the $25 for the ticket. Right. I don't care about that. I just want to go alone, right? I just want to be the guy to go alone. Like I asked my girlfriend, I asked all these people, I was like, please come with me. No one. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go alone. I'm just going to do it because I'm not going to waste the ticket of the guy who I really want to see. So I'm like, screw it. So I go, right? And it's the funniest thing in the world. I walk in and I grab the table, and the people that worked there knew I was alone. So they were kind of treating me like if you're a kid flying for the first time, you know what I'm talking about?
Are you okay?
Yeah. Like, do you need anything? Do you need another beer? Like, I was like, guys, I'm okay. I promise. So I'm sitting back there, and you know, there's people that sat in the tables next to us, and I sat there and I listened to Gabe's set, and I ended up obviously stayed through the whole show, but listening to Gabe's set by myself, where I did not have to explain a single song. I did not have to tell anyone what songs I liked. All I had to do was sit there and listen to him play. Incredible. It was the greatest thing in the world. The greatest thing in the world. It really was. And I had a moment where like I got chills and I was like, man, this is why I love doing this stuff. I love this stuff. And I was by myself.
I love listeners like you because it's just like the way you hone in on it is so different than a lot of other people. And it's, thank you for being you.
Well, I mean, listen, there's a lot of not so great parts out there. I got the gift of gab, if you can't tell. I just go on.
I love it. I love it.
But I mean, seriously, like that's why this stuff is so great, is because like, you know, like you can have that moment in Nashville, Tennessee. I could have that moment in New York City. And like, it's the same feeling, right? Like it's the same feeling where you say like, wow, like there's not a, because someone asked me the other day, right? Someone said, and I don't know how this is, but someone was like, well, they were like, you really like country music? I'm like, yeah, where have you been? Like, where have you been for X amount of whatever it's been? And they're like, really? I'm like, there is not a thing, like a thing, not counting humans, right? There's not a thing that I love more than music, right? Like I get up every single day and I'm excited to listen to music. Today's Thursday, right? Like as this recording, today's Thursday. Tonight at midnight, there's going to be all this stuff I can listen to.
All the new ones coming out. Right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's better than that, right?
I know. And I like you said, there's nothing better than sharing like an undiscovered artist with someone in the country realm, especially because, you know, country music, it's, I don't want to listen to country music. It's exactly. Terrible. It's like, let me give you my 10 favorite country artists, then come back to me and tell me if you like country or not.
That's what I say. That's what I tell people. Because for a while I've made a playlist, right? Where like, and I still do it, but it's just like, sometimes hard to keep up with, but every time I have someone on, I throw a couple of your songs on the playlist. And it's not because that playlist gets a lot of listens, because it doesn't. But the point is that when someone says, what do you listen to? I say, listen to this playlist.
There you go.
That's it. Because it's all people that they probably wouldn't listen to unless I told them.
I love that so much.
I don't know. I just think it's cool. Now, you talked about some of your, you know, some of your favorite artists and some of your favorite songs. So what do you think? And being a sad song connoisseur, like what are your top three? What do you think the top three best sad songs of all time are?
Best song ever written, ever, yeah. Ever in the whole world. I Can't Make You Love Me.
Wow. Okay. I'm with you.
Easily. At least for me, that is like, that is it. That is the one. I feel like I'm just like hyping her up, but Caitlin is just, that's, I can just say all of hers.
Yes.
All of her sad songs. I wish I could give you my like songs on Spotify, because there is probably 100 songs on there that are very, very sad. There's a girl named Emily Hearn. I wouldn't say she's too sad all the time, but she's a girl from Georgia who I fell in love with back in the day, and she helped kind of inspired some of the songwriting and stuff, but she, her voice, her lyrics, like that fire. But, gosh, I can't even narrow it down. I can't even think of any sad songs.
It's so hard. It's so hard, right?
Like, I'll make a sad girl playlist for you and send it to you, but
please. I love that. Love that. I know maybe this isn't necessarily a sad song, but I think Unanswered Prayers by Garth Brooks is like one of the most storytelling songs ever. Because it's just like a crazy song if you think about it too. There's that. One of the greatest songs I ever think was have ever been written, and I don't even know if my opinion doesn't come close, is The Dance.
The Dance?
Gotta throw The Dance in there. Have to. Absolutely. absolutely bar none. And I know I just picked two Garth picks, and it's not like Garth is like my idol or anything, but I think that those songs are great. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. Like you think about it, right? It's so hard.
I know what song. I Drive Your Truck.
Oh, Lee Bryce.
Okay, and can I just say, I'm going to go on a rant about Lee Bryce. First of all, Lee Bryce, take me on tour with you because I love you. Second of all, that I say this to my friends all the time, but Lee Bryce, this is so random and so off topic. I want a hug from Lee Bryce. I don't know what it is. He just looks like hug? He gives a really good a bear hug.
All right.
Yes, that's all I asked for.
I you know what? I could see it. I could see it.
And I love his voice. I love his songs. I don't dance.
I think people forget about him a lot.
Yes. Yes, yeah. They do.
I think people sleep on Lee. I agree. And maybe it's because he hasn't put stuff out in a while, but I think people sleep on him. I Don't Dance, You're Right. That's a great one. She Ain't Right. Love Like Crazy. Come on. You know, I sound just like Lee Bryce when I sing in the car, but only when I'm alone. No one can hear it.
All right. So we'll never really know, but you know.
On the money. Just like Lee Bryce.
Important.
Just like Lee Bryce. Basically, he got his voice from me. That's kind of how that goes. Oh my God. So many good songs.
I'm going to like.
That Don't Sound Like You. Come on.
I feel like I'm going to. In this conversation, be like, all the songs are going to flood into my head. All of them.
Yes. It's good. You're going to end up with like Whitley and Haggard and all these guys that just like have just absolute gut-wrenching songs. Why do you think it is? Why do you think that people, especially in listeners of country music, right? Like because like growing up and as someone who, you know, started listening to country music, like, you know, late in the early teen era, right? Is like, Why do you think that? Cause I feel like as kids growing up, right? Like we love like the upbeat stuff, but why, and why do you think it is that a lot of people are closeted sad song fans? Like why do most people love music that is just totally sad or like not even sad, just like slow storytelling songs? Like, why do you think that is?
I mean, at a young age, you probably don't want to show up at your friend's house and be like, let's just cry for the next 2 hours. And at the time, it was like, where I grew up, it was, you know, the magazines with all the parties and skinny little girls and guys with their nice convertible cars. Like, I grew up in an era where, like, image was everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you want to listen to that party song, that party music. Don't get me wrong. Like, college, that was, like, the time of my favorite pop hip-hop songs ever. But what am I going to show up to a pregame with the... you know,
Whiskey Lullaby.
Yeah. Guys, I heard this new jam. Y'all got to hear it. Or Three Wooden Crosses.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? No, I agree. I think it's funny. So, you know, you say like in college, like those were your jams. And like, you know, obviously I had those too, but I would wait. What I would do is I would wait till like all my roommates left my apartment. Right. And I would just I wouldn't even wait. Sometimes I would. And I would go into the shower and I would just turn on my music of what I liked. And 9 times out of 10, it was sad country songs. And then I would like, you know, do my thing. I'd probably be singing a little bit and I'd come out. Cause the best part was the shower was so loud. And so was the fans. So like you couldn't hear anyone in the bathroom. So I could sing and it'd be fine. Right. So I would come out and I'd go in my room and my buddy would knock on my door and he'd be like, you all right? I'd be like, yeah, why? He's like, you're listening to some like, he was like, are you in your bag? I'm like, no. And he goes, you're not sad or anything? Like, no, why? You're listening to some really sad songs. I was like, I don't know, dude. They make me happy. They keep me inspired. I like them. It's like,
go ahead.
I don't know. It's just like, that's what it is. Like, it keeps me excited. It's true. It's a fact.
I'll listen to it when I'm happy, sad. Like, if I'm tired, it doesn't matter. After I put his guitar out, my dad called me and he was like, I love your songs. And I love your love that you're emotional about your music. And I am, he said, but I'm concerned at this point. He's like, you need to either put out a happy song or come talk to us. We're a little worried about how you are. And I'm like, I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. I swear.
And then you go ahead and just put Salt and Sugar out just to.
Yeah. That was honestly never planned. That was something that just happened and it did well, which was super cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. And like, so did you plan to put it out to two others or like, were you just like, cause I mean, you said it wasn't planned, but like, did you know that it was going to be like this? It's not a duet. It's like, what would you like? I don't know. Triplet.
Everyone always asks, like, are you guys in a band? Are you in a trio now? But we wrote the song. Sammy Cannon, who's the lead on this, loved it. And she had, like, gone back and forth about, you know, am I, I should put it out, I shouldn't put it out, blah, blah. And, you know, Melissa's from Canada. And right. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, lie. My business mind came up. And I was like, well, what would be super cool is we all love this song. She's got a fan base in Canada. We have a fan base in the South. Like, why? Especially because women are so underrepresented in country music. I was like, why don't three badass women put this out? And we grow fans in Canada. We grow fans in the South. And it ended up doing, sometimes you're lucky and it ends up doing exactly what you plan for it to do. And it's a cute song. It's funny, like, watching people who use the sound on TikTok. Like, everybody writes us and they're always like, I grew up my meemaw, you know, she told me these phrases, or I remember sitting on the porch and my grandma would tell me all these things. And I'm like, because for me, lyrically, was it something that I was, you know, I like those tug at your heartstrings, blah, blah, blah. This was very much the opposite of what I've ever really put out. Yeah. So I was kind of skeptical, and the girls were like, no, it's fun, it's cute, it's good. And but when I get to hear their stories about the times they spent with their grandmother or their moms telling them these Southern phrases and teaching them, you know, as they grow up, I was like, okay, we're back to the reason why I write these songs. And it was just super cool.
Because it's the external stories at that point, right? It's like, you know, that's why you want to connect with people, and that's why you do. I think that's so awesome. I'm really glad you said that, because I honestly did not know where that was. Just, that's really cool. I think that's really cool that the three of you paired together. And you're right. Like, what I think is really cool is, like, you know, Melissa is from Canada, so it's cool that you have that. Now there's that gap from up here and here, and now everything in the middle, and you can kind of fill out. And I think that it's really cool to just branch that fan base. That's important. And you know, you're right. Like, it's I think it's getting better now, but I think that for a while, women in country music, there, you're right, there was no representation. I think it's kind of starting to change a little bit. I'm not going to say it's, like, aggressive, but, like, you get, like, a Lainey Wilson and people love her, right? And, like, it's, like, cool to see, right? But, and, you know, there's a handful of others, and it's not nearly as big as it should, but I think it's badass that the three of you joined together and just to say, like, let's go and do it. I think it's
sick. And why not? Like, we have nothing to lose. Like,
what do you have to lose? That's a good way to put it. What do you, nothing. Because it's all great, right?
So. It's wonderful. It's cute. It's happy. And this immediately, do you listen to Brandi Carlile?
Of course.
I just watched her HBO thing.
Oh yeah.
And I remember, like, 4 years ago, there's this CMT Next Women of Country. They select the next women of country and then they do a concert. And I went with Sammy to that, and Brandi was getting an award for basically, you know, like, the overall thank you for doing what you do for women in country music. And one of the things that she said, which was the total opposite of what I was told when I moved to this town, she was like, I've been doing this for 10 years. I have put out so much music, and I'm finally hitting with one of those songs or two or three songs. She's like, don't let the fear of, because when you move here, everyone's like, well, don't put anything out because people are going to know you by that. No, it's so disposable, especially now with social media and TikTok. She's like, put everything out. Just let it go. Flow. It doesn't matter. If that song doesn't hit, great. Move on to the next one. Like, don't be afraid to put out whatever you want to put out. And I live by that. People will forget that song if they don't like it. And if you put something else that wows them, they're going to come and they're going to attach to that. And it's just never have the fear of putting anything out. Never.
What I think is cool about that is, like, now in today's day and age, like, I say easy, and we'll have quotes around easy, right? Because, like, it is a lot of money, and it's not like this thing, right? Yeah. And it's not like this thing that you can't just, like, throw a song out. Like, I throw a podcast episode out, right? Like, it's not that easy. But in retrospect, like, the fact that you can put this song out, and because, like, you took a break in between music, right? Like, you put some music out, and then I think you were gone for what, like, 3 years or something like that, right? It was, like, pretty long time. But the fact is that you can put this song out now, and then in 2 months, if you want to, you can put another song out. It does not matter, right? I mean, obviously there's strategies that go behind
there
it.
There is, yeah.
But there's other things. But what I'm saying is that if you wanted to put out three songs a year for the next 5 years in hopes that one of those songs are going to catch and then you're going to gain a fan for life, like, you can do that. But, like, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you really couldn't, because like iTunes was becoming a thing, but people were still buying their music and burning CDs and, yeah. and like, that's all great. And I love, like, I love the vinyl world. I love it. Right. Like I have mm-hmm. a problem. And I think that it's great that people still love to listen to full length records, but on the whole opposite side of the spectrum, not everyone's a Jason Aldean. Not everyone's, you know what I mean? Like not everyone is these, are these big name artists that people want to listen to their whole project, because if you don't know them, like you don't know what you're getting. So mm-hmm. I think it is cool that like at your fingertips, Paige McKenzie can go ahead and put out 10 songs and you can listen to all 10 songs, right? Whether they were put out in 2019 or 2023. And you can keep doing that for the next 5 years. And there's all this music out there in hopes that one person is going to listen to it and say, mm-hmm. holy shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's great. And it's crazy about Brandy too, because she's like legend and she's just, it's nuts.
I mean,
so it's ridiculous.
Unreal. So. Unbelievable. If you get the chance, it's on HBO. It was a live show. Unreal, that woman's voice and the band that she has. She had like strings. It was incredible. But I know, and it's cool because with social media, like a song you do put out, like I put out 2 years ago, could go viral tomorrow. Like you just, right. It's like I want to slap social media in the face, but also I've seen what it can do for people. Mm. So it's like it's this.
It's wild. We have that conversation all the time. It's like it's the biggest tool in the world, and it's like pretty much the biggest blessing, because I feel like a lot of us wouldn't be sitting here without it. But mm-hmm. It's also just a huge, it's like, it's the worst at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it is the best and it is the absolute worst thing in the world at the same time, because all you do is compare. Like you said that, right? Like all you do is compare to the next person and say like, well, why are they doing this? And they get that and they get this and they do that, mm-hmm. but I can't. Like what's the, even if like you might, and this is a very like, egotistical thing to say, but like, how do I know? Like, even if I know that I'm better than the next person and they're still getting whatever or succeeding wherever they're succeeding, like, it still stinks. I get it. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. So, I don't know. It's like one of those things you just got to have to roll with it. But in terms of the women in country music thing, I think CMT's done the next women in country for the last few years after mm-hmm. that 1 year. I think that's fantastic. There's a big group of people there, from people that are very new to the industry as well that are like sitting in that group. I think it's pretty cool.
It's super cool. And I everyone's here in town, you know, they're fighting and they're working for it. And like, that's all we can continue to do. There's a lot of lack of representation for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's cool to see how much it's grown since I've been here, but there's still a lot of like advancements that need to be made in country music as a whole in all sorts of areas. Mm-hmm. So you just got to keep on keeping on.
That's right. So I say all the time, just keep on keeping on. Paige, what's next? Like what is the rest of 2023 look like for you and just coming up, what's next for you?
Yeah. So it's crazy. This past year I was, you know, going to do that whole put a song out every 3 months sort of thing. But now I have been writing my ass off and I have some cuts coming out with a few artists, which are super cool. And then I have been prepping for what's going to be like a little acoustic EP, really broke down sort of thing. So that'll be within the next year, and got some really cool shows I'm playing, a couple headlining things, which is really exciting. And I've just come to terms with take it day by day and just see what happens.
Yeah. It's a fantastic mindset. It really is. You gotta just, I look at the brighter side of things and you should keep on rolling. All the good things are happening, right? Like, you know, you're putting more music out and you're going to play shows and you're doing all these things. You're getting to perform, you're getting to write. And I think that's pretty awesome. So keep on keeping on, you rock. You're awesome. I think you're super talented and I'm just excited to see, you know, what comes next for you. And you know, the opportunities are endless, and just keep on reaching for the stars there.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. Let's do it again soon. And when I'm at the end of the month, let me know if you're playing somewhere. We can.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely reach out.
For sure. Everybody, you can go follow Paige on Instagram at Paige McKenzie Music, all one word, wherever, you know, social media is, all that stuff. You can go listen to her music on Apple Music, Spotify, all that jazz. And go share songs and share with your friends and do all that good stuff. Like I keep saying, week in, week out. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode. If you didn't love the episode, still give it 5 stars. And follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Thank you for tuning in. Week 170 something, and we're not stopping. So it's great. Thank you for tuning in each week. I really appreciate everyone. And we'll see you next week. I'm Kyle. That's Paige. Bye-bye.